Lord is a good God. I said, the Lord is a good God. I love Him tonight. How about you? Amen. I appreciate the blessings and the goodness of the Lord that He blesses us with. Can you say amen? And I don't know about you, but He's been mighty good to me. You know, we got that term we use sometimes, say, the Lord has been awful good to me. I'm trying to change that. The word awful and good just don't work right. I know what we mean, and I catch myself still saying it. But He's been mighty good to me. How about you? Amen? He's a good God, and I appreciate Him and all that He does. I appreciate, although Brother Mike is not here for me to tell him in person tonight, appreciate him filling in last night. We had to go take care of the situation, and we got to go back to Tennessee again tomorrow, just a trip there for a couple of hours and back. And so keep us in your prayers, and please keep her dad in your prayers. He really needs prayer, and need God's help to make some decisions they do about what to do about his situation. So keep him in your prayers. We would appreciate it. All right, I've already heard about some good preaching this week. So I hope these preachers left me a crumb or two someplace that I can find to preach. All righty? I appreciate, though, when people say that they've enjoyed what's been going on. I'd rather that than have the other. Amen? Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Get your Bibles in 1 Samuel 4. And please do not close your Bible, because lay it in the seat beside you when we're done. Because in about 10 minutes or so in my sermon, I've got to go another little place. And I'll have to wait till then to give you my title, because I don't want to jump the gun. Don't want you to miss it. I pray the Lord lets me preach this tonight like I feel it. I have been for 5 months wanting to preach this. And I've just not been able to do it. And so, tonight's the night. Is that all right? I've got something that I believe the Lord wants me to share with us in the house tonight. 1 Samuel 4, if you can stand. We will read from 19 to 22 in your hearing. Verses 19 through 22, just 4 verses of Scripture. When you turn there, say amen. Amen. Now this starts in the middle of the story, and I will explain the story to you. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered. When she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, somebody say, she said. Now, how many know you can say things that ain't right? You can make your own decision about things too. You can prophesy your own demise. Somebody say amen. And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Father, would you bless us in this house? Would you touch us tonight with your spirit? I ask you to come by here and just minister in a special way. Anoint my mind and my spirit, my body. Anoint me afresh, O God, to preach this word that you've laid upon my spirit so strong. And I pray tonight that you would anoint minds and hearts to receive what you have for us in this house. And Father, we need you and we ask you to just touch us and do that that you desire to do in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. I'll give you the title, as I said, in about 10 minutes time into my sermon here. I've been in this going from place to place, and then in Ohio, and I believe Ohio is the worst sinus place there is. And the weather changed, and I left church a couple of nights with a wet shirt, and you know, you do things that you say you ain't supposed to do. Somebody say amen. The Word of God is full of examples where we read about or hear about the presence and the power of God. The Word is full of examples of the power of God. Think about when the power of God came and God told Moses to stretch the rod and the Red Sea parted back. Now, I don't know about you, but if you do a study on that, that's a very great miracle of what happened that day. And then the Bible said God blessed his children and dropped manna down from heaven. The Bible says in the Old Testament, the prophets saw the dead raised. In the New Testament, we see that Lazarus was raised when Jesus went to the tomb. And we see that Peter raised the dead in one place. And so the Bible is full of examples where the power of God and the miraculous happened. The Bible tells, and I love to preach about the fact of Samson, that he took a piece of meat, a jawbone. He didn't take an animal. He didn't take the whole jaw. He took a jawbone, and he slew the 1,000 Philistines that day. I love, Pastor, when we read about the story of Jesus taking 5 loaves and 2 little fish and feeding the 5,000, the great multitude. Now, there were times in the Bible when we read about great and mighty, miraculous things. But we also read in the Bible there were times when, because of different things, the land went through what we would call dry valleys and went through tough times. Now I'm the kind of person that I hope you are, that I love it when we're high. And I love it when the presence of God is so strong. And I love it when it feels like you're just living upon the mountain. But I'm also smart enough to realize that I've been in the place where I've been through some valleys. And when you get in the valley and you get in the trial, and it seems like God is a million miles away, and at that time it seems that maybe you'll never feel God again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we love the times when the presence of God is great. But let me tell you something, we go through the low times and we go through the valleys. And I believe even as a nation that Israel went through seasons of dry times. Some because of wicked kings and some because of other reasons. And I believe the church age even today can go through low times and times when it seems like that we're just not experiencing the power or the presence of God. And this setting in 1 Samuel 4 was what we would call a low time, a low period of time that nobody had been shouting lately. Nobody had been praising God much lately, because here was Israel down in Ebenezer, and here were the Philistines in Aphek. And the Bible said the Philistines killed 4,000 of the Israelites. And when they killed 4,000 of the Israelites, the elders of Israel said, they said, what has happened to us? Why has the Lord smitten? Note what they said. Why has the Lord smitten us? And they said, what we've got to do is go down and we've got to fetch the ark. The ark will save us. The ark will deliver us. And the Bible said they sent to Shiloh and they brought the ark back into the camp. And when they brought the ark back into the camp, it says that Eli's 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were the ones that helped carry the ark back to the camp. And when the ark came back to the camp, Israel shouted. And the Philistines said, what be the noise of the shout? And the Bible said when they heard that they came, and they came down and they defeated the Israelites even greater that day. Now the ark was a symbol
of God's presence. You see, we can have the symbol without having the real thing. I could wear a shirt that says I'm blood-bought, spirit-filled, I'm tongue-talker. I can wear a shirt that says I'm a Bible thumper. I could wear a shirt that says I go to Dunville Church of God. But it doesn't mean that I have the goods. It doesn't mean that I have what my t-shirt says. I'm glad all the t-shirts don't have inside of the people what the t-shirt... We'll not go there. Come on. So they said, we got to do something. You Philistines, quit you like men or fight like men. And the Bible said they decided to go and they went down and they took the ark back. And the Israelites were defeated that day. But in the midst of the battle, Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were killed. His two sons died. And the word comes back down to Eli, and he hears them talking, and they said, the ark is taken. Israel's in trouble. And then somebody says, well, Eli's two sons have been killed. And the Bible says when Eli heard this, that he fell off backward, and he broke his neck and died. And this brings us to the 19th verse of Scripture. When Phinehas, his son, died, it meant that this woman's husband died, and her father-in-law, which was a spiritual example, died also. And so the Bible said she was pregnant, ready to be delivered of child. And when the word came down, and she heard that her father-in-law was dead, and her husband Phinehas was dead, she became great with child. And upon her deathbed, she bore a son. And they told her, said, you've had a son. But she answered not. And they told her, you've had a son. And the Bible said, she named the child Ichabod. Nobody told her to name the child Ichabod. Nobody told her to give this baby this name. But she did this on her own. Can I say this tonight? If the glory is departed, it's not nobody else's fault but mine. Can I just preach? You see people say, well, you know, the glory's departed. And I just don't see the glory of God anymore. Well, let me tell you, maybe there's a reason it departed. Maybe you claimed it for yourself. Come on now. And you see, I found out that the glory of God in my life, it's not dependent upon Sister Hall. If I don't have the glory of God, I can't blame my wife. I can't say, Lord, it's the woman you gave me. Now, come on, say amen. Because people like to blame it on somebody else. I can't say, well, Lord, it's Brother Ted Stidham's fault. Well, Lord, it's Ken Turner's fault. Well, Lord, it's Brother Jimmy Bunch's fault. Well, Lord, it's Brother Jones's fault. Well, Lord, it's that person down there's fault. If the glory of God is not in my life, it's nobody's fault. But Tim Hall's. There's nobody to lay the blame at the door except me. There's a lot of people today that are telling us. They're saying there's just no use for the church. The glory of God's departed. The Spirit of God's not moving in the church anymore. Can I tell you something, friend? That when God finds a people that will pursue the glory will catch up with us and the glory will fall upon us. I refuse to say that the glory's departed. I refuse to name myself or name my experience Ichabod. I choose to say something different. The word Ichabod means the glory is departed. Yeah. Tell somebody, ask somebody, say, has the glory departed in your life? Now don't say it mean. Because listen, I don't know about you, but I've here lately got just about fighting mad. And I really don't want to fight. But I've got about fighting mad. Because I'm about fed up to here. Not to here, up to here. About a foot and a half above. Now these people telling me that we can't have a move of God anymore. I'm about fed up with these people telling me, well, we might as well padlock the church doors. Well, God's not moving in the church anymore. I don't know about you, but I get these friend requests sometimes on Facebook. And they say it's prophet, prophetess, and apostle, and this and that. And I hate it when people give themselves the label. I hate it when these people do. Most of them I just ignore and I go to some of them, they call it the wall. If you don't have Facebook. and I look on their wall, Brother Jimmy, before I accept them. And this prophetess, this prophet, this apostle has said, well, we're living in a day when God no longer moves. And I say, you think I'm dumb enough to accept your friend request? I don't want somebody every day telling me that I can't have a move of God when the Bible says I can. I don't want somebody telling me every day that God no longer moves in the church when my Bible tells me directly the opposite. You see, she said, the glory's departed. She made up her mind. Nobody said to Phinehas' wife, you ought to name this baby Ichabod. But she named the baby by herself. I'm here to tell you, you can put a label on and say that God don't move, but don't you sell me the t-shirt because I refuse to wear it. My God still lives and my God's still alive and He's still moving in the church today. I don't know about you, but I refuse to let my glory depart. I refuse to live through an age and say there's been no glory. I refuse to allow our young people to grow up and not see the glory of God. I believe it's time that we say, whatever they tried to name us, that don't put the label on me. It don't stick. I'm going to see the glory. Ichabod don't stick on me because I'm going to see the presence and the glory of God. You know what separated the Israelites from the Philistine? It wasn't just the ark. The ark was the symbol. But it was what they had when they originally got the ark. They had the glory. You know what separates the church from the casual church? It's the glory. And can I tell you, now let me preach. Can I tell you that too much of the casual church has accepted the fact and they've just sat down and said, well, we just got to bide our time. Until we get to the sweet by and get a pie in the sky. And they said, well, God just don't move in the church anymore. And like I told you in the beginning, I know we go through dry valleys. We don't live all the time up on the mountain. But I refuse to go around and say that the glory's departed. But the casual church, let me tell you something. Let me phrase that right. 90% of the Pentecostal church movement can have church without God. Amen. They can have church. I never said a move of God. They can go through church without a move of God. They can have church without the presence of God. And they've got so accustomed to it that it don't matter if He doesn't show up. It don't bother them that He's not there. I don't know about you, but when I don't experience the glory, I go back to the house and I hit my face or I cover the sheet and I say, God, what's wrong? I don't want to live without your glory. I refuse to accept the casual religion of today, but I believe that the same God in the Old Testament, the same God of the New Testament, the same power that fell at Pentecost is still alive and well today. And God will show us His glory. Can you shout amen? Amen. If we don't have the glory, it's our own fault. 10 virgins. Remember the story? 5 wise, 5 foolish. The 5 wise took plenty in their lamps. So if something happened, they had it. The 5 foolish said, uh-oh. The cry's come. Midnight, behold, the bridegroom cometh. We don't have any oil, give us of yours. They said, we can't give you ours. We got to have ours for ourselves. Let me tell you, we can't have a rub off of yesterday. Come on. My daddy shouted. My mama shouted. My grandma shouted. I'll never forget if I live to be 150. And I had any mind, I don't think I could forget my grandmother. That Brother Turner, I could see her right now just as if she's standing right here. My grandmother, it didn't matter who was doing what. And now she was not one of them takeover people. But if there came a quiet man in the church, my grandma felt it, she'd get up and she'd start prancing across the front and shouting and singing that old song. When the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, how we'll shout. And how we'll sing. when the redeemed are gathered in. And I'd see the glory of God hit that place and the power of God fall from the front to the back. I've seen it more than once. I've been in the service where that the glory came so thick in a cloud that the preacher couldn't even stand behind the pulpit because of the power of God that was so strong. But you see, my friend, we can't have a rub off. I'm not living on my grandma's glory. I'm not living on my mama's dress tail and my daddy's coat tail. But I'm here to tell you, I'm a preacher that says I've got to have the glory for myself, and I refuse to allow it to happen any other way. The people around Israel, the people around that country, they were serving idols. Even 1 Samuel tells us in chapter 5, Dagon had temples, but they had no glory. We've got temples, but I wonder if a lot of times most of them's got the glory. Mm-hmm. Amen. I just don't understand that we think if we build a temple, we build a $1 million building, that it's just going to be a church. It ain't a church until the glory comes. Amen. We could sit out here in an old brush arbor, get over there and cut a tree down and sit down on a tree log and not have a PA system, not have air conditioning, and sit there with the bugs eating us up. But if it's the glory of God, we're having church. Amen. I've seen it where that the nails were sticking up. I remember when old Brother Ernest Dalton pastored down here at Pine Knot, down below Somerset, went down there and preached a revival. And I found out the first night, if I walked on 3 boards, I would fall about 3 inches. And the floor was about to fall in. And the building looked terrible. But you know what? It wasn't in the building. It wasn't in the chandeliers. It wasn't in how the preacher dressed. It wasn't in the fancy stuff. It was in the fact there was glory. Can I tell you? Dagon had his temples. Today we see religions. And today we see churches. But today we need to see the glory of the Almighty God. If sinners and backsliders, if drug addicts and alcoholics are going to come to Jesus, it will be the glory that captures them and drives them to the house of God. Where is the glory? The word glory, you Bible readers don't know this, is that word called kabod. Or it means weight or heaviness. It means honor. It means a visible manifestation. A felt manifestation of the power of God. That's what the glory means. Now, when I read that and it says kabod means weight or heaviness, when the glory of God comes, it's just like a spiritual heaviness. Not a heaviness on the sad side, but it's the glory, and you know something's going on. Come on. I used to hear the old saints when I was a boy talking about it. I didn't understand, but the first time I felt it, I said, that's what they're talking about. Uh-huh. You see, it's when you sense. It's when you know that the glory has showed up. There's been instances of the glory where God's revealed it. There was Exodus when they saw it on Moses' face. There was a time that even though in the midst of that, that the people still said, let us go back to Egypt. Or they said, let's build a golden calf. And let's worship the golden calf. And let me tell you, there's been times when God told Moses and Aaron, stand back. I'm going to show the people my glory. And the glory of God would fall. Let me tell you, the world's in crisis. And a lot of the church world's in crisis. But let me tell you what we need. We don't need a leadership change. And we don't necessarily need a presidential change for the church to change. And I just preach. We had problems when we had Republicans, and we got problems when we got Democrats, so let's not blame it on the politician. The glory comes in the house of God when God's presence shows up. And God's presence is not showing up because George Bush sat there or Barack Obama sat there. God's presence shows up because there's a people that have been seeking for the glory of God. What we need in America today is a revival where the world sees the presence of God. When the world sees the presence and the power of God, then the world will respect the church again. Yeah. I got to preach. When Moses finished the tabernacle and the furniture moved in, you remember that? The glory came. Filled the house. I would have loved, you know, I don't believe in a dream of genie or what's her name that twitched her nose? Bewitched. Some of y'all know, old enough to remember that, ain't you? And I know they meant some of it in a nice way. I don't believe in the dream of genie and I don't believe in bewitched. But I wish I could have somehow been transported back to 2 Chronicles 5, Brother Ted, when it said that they built the temple. But they did not stand there and say, oh, look at our gold. Look at our lights. Look at our silver. Look at our furnaces. The Bible said the glory of God fell. They bowed themselves on the ground and worshiped God. And then the Bible said the glory of God fell and the priest could not even stand to minister in the house of God. I don't know if that does anything to you, but I'd like to have been in that meeting when the glory of God fell so strong that it knocked the priest and everybody in the house on the floor under the power of God. And they wasn't just having a visit. They was experiencing the kabod, the glory of God. We know He sent the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. But I don't know about you, but I need the glory. But I did. Let me go one more place before I give you where I'm going. You see, Joshua and Caleb, the Bible said 2 out of 12 that they sent to spy out the land said were well able to go. Can I tell you, friend, it don't take 150. It don't even take 50. It don't even take 40. All it takes is a few folk that'll say, I refuse to settle for anything except the glory of God. Here's what the Lord spoke to me so strong lately. Recently, He's spoken to me. He's spoken to me 2 or 3 times. As long as, now you need to get this nugget. As long as we are content to live without the glory, we will. And now tell the truth. I'm not preaching against nobody. I'm saying it this way. We've all, see my finger? We've all got to the place where we got just a little bit religious. And we just came to church. Been there and guilty of doing that. I know some preachers will tell you that they've never been. They're lying to you. Because every Christian's been to that place. When you just get to the place, it becomes a little mundane. Don't shout me down. As long as we're happy with where we are, we'll never see the glory of God. And as long as we say we can do church like we can, we'll never see the glory of God. How sad it must have been. Listen to me. How sad it must have been that Ichabod was born and everybody in the country knew his name. Ichabod. They said, here comes Ichabod. The glory's departed from Israel. Now let me preach it in 2013 a second and explain it this way. I don't know where they went to shop and I don't know where they went to do the business at. But Ichabod went down to Kroger's. And when Ichabod went to Kroger's, I don't know what they had. Now, I'm just preaching if it's today. Ichabod went down to the business and he walked in and they said, here comes Ichabod. The glory, and all of a sudden a downer. All of a sudden they said, well, we know what that means. The glory of God's no longer in Israel. And he goes down here to do his business financially. And they say, Ichabod. Yeah, the glory's departed. Every time he went around his family, they say, here comes Ichabod. Here comes, oh, Ichabod. You know what that means? The glory's departed. Ichabod got all the attention. Everywhere that Ichabod went, that's all they talked about. Here comes Ichabod. He was on everybody's lips, on everybody's tongue. He was all they talked about. Ichabod, 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 Ichabod. Here comes Ichabod. Here's Ichabod. Did you hear Ichabod was in town? Everybody was talking about Ichabod. The glory's a thing of the past. Can I ask you this? What do we hear most of the time today? We hear most of the time what God ain't doing. And we don't hear much of what God is doing. We's actually up there, Brother Ted, 19 days, but that's all right. And the glory of God fell. And one girl took some pictures, and I put them on Facebook. People said, well, I just don't believe that. God just ain't doing anymore. I said,
I don't care what you believe. Now listen. You come to church and the power of God fall. You come to church and see a divine miracle. And the first thing happens is people say, well, I just doubt that happened. Am I right? Well, I don't know about that. I just don't think God doing those things anymore. But let me tell you, you leave church and you go down here and you say, Preacher Sam. We don't have a Sam, do we? Preacher Sam went off with piano player Lucy. And everybody will believe it. Even if it didn't happen. Come on. But you tell them, last Friday night down there, the glory of God fell. And literally people was slain in the spirit without a person. I just don't believe that stuff. You tell them there was a cloud come in the house. And you saw them. I just don't know about that kind of stuff anymore. See, it must have been something with the camera. It must have been something else. You know, I just don't think that thing kind of thing happens today. That's what Ichabod went through. Everybody said there's nothing taking place. Ichabod was the talk of the town. But now I'm going to give you the title of my message because I told you to keep the Bible open. Are you ready? Go 10 chapters later with me to chapter 14. You don't have to stand. I just want to read 1, 2, and 3. And then I'm going to give you the title. 1 Samuel 14. This is 29 years later. They've been without the glory of God because they listened to one woman. They allowed Ichabod to affect him. 1 Samuel 14 and 1, you there? Came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to a young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that's on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. Now let me read real slow, verse 3. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, what's the next two words say? Ichabod's brother. The son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. Now, wait a minute. Here's your title. You can be Ichabod, or you can be Ichabod's brother. Tell your neighbor, say, Ichabod had a brother. For 29 years, the glory departed. For 29 years, the Spirit wasn't moving. There was no glory. Then we read, 29 years later. Now, I don't know how old his brother is. But 29 years later, we discovered 10 chapters later that Ichabod's got a brother who was a priest or a worshiper. The name Ahitub. I know you never named your kids that. Don't blame you. Could you imagine the doctor coming in and say, what are you going to name your kid? A-H-I-T-U-B. A high tub. They said, you say hot tub? Now they had some weird names. Come on. A high tub. Listen to me. The name A High Tub, Ichabod's brother, his name means son of goodness. Are you with me? He was a worshiper. For 29 years, they talked about the glory had departed. For 29 years, all they heard was what wasn't happening. I don't know about you, but it feels like it's been about 29 years. I don't know how long it's been, but it feels like it's been about 29 years that all I've heard from about half the folk is, God don't move anymore. The church can't see revival anymore. The power of God don't come anymore. I'm not Ichabod. I'm his brother. I'm not Ichabod. I'm his brother. I refuse to accept that. Name me a high tub. Name me a worshiper. Because when God can find a worshiper, the glory will always fall in that. I feel hair coming on me. I feel the glory running up down my back right now. You see, the problem is, we just sit down and accept things. I told you I've been waiting 5 months to preach this.
God gave this to me. I've never ever in my life heard this, read this, or anything. When I read it, Brother Ted, it just looked, it didn't register. And one day I'm sitting there and it hit me and I wanted to jump out. I wanted to jump out the window. And the window being closed. I said, oh my God. I said, Lord, when can I preach this? I said, Lord, surely I'll get to preach it over here and over here. And I ain't been able to preach it yet. But let me tell you something. 29 years went by. And they were deflated, discouraged, and disheartened. They were beat down and beat up. But then the Bible said, here comes somebody that found Ichabod's brother. Meaning the son of goodness. He was a worshiper in the house of God. Can I tell you, friend, let them label everybody else. But if they're going to say one word about me, I want them to say there's one thing about that old preacher. He's a worshiper and a praiser in the house of God. Because I found out that my Bible said if we would worship Him, He would be in the midst. If we would praise Him, He would be in the midst. If we would magnify Him, He would come in the midst. I won't let the glory go because I'm going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm a worshiper. Here's the problem. We come to church because of what everybody said. Well, I've been down to Church A. You know, down at Church A, it's just dry. God just ain't moving down anymore. Well, I've been going down to Church B. Same thing down there. Well, I've been going down to Church C, and you know, it's probably worse down there. And then here comes Brother D, and he said, I've been going to Church D. Let me tell you, ours is four times deader than all of you guys's. And they're sitting around talking. Well, God just ain't doing anything anymore. I guess we just got to go to churches to get to heaven. I guess we just got to go to church because, you know, it's a thing we're supposed to do. But, you know, we go down there and the glory of God ain't falling. So here's what happens. They go down there and they decide to be like the rest. Why should I get in? Why should I praise God? I mean, you know, the last time I praised God in here, somebody looked at me like they're going to throw me out. I've been in that church. I shouted glory and one of the deacons turned around and said, shh, we don't do that. I said, if you don't do that, I can't come here. I said, be my first and my last time. Come on. And if we don't watch, we come down because we've listened to everything. We've read every report of how bad it is. Listen to me. I get messages every day. I just got one today. Three major mega church pastors now has fallen in the last 4 or 5 months. Well, I guess God's not doing anything. These preachers are falling. Now, listen, I'm not saying it but to belittle, and I'm not saying it to relegate it to nothing. It's important. Okay? But we sit around and we listen to all the bad news. We say, well, I just guess we're just biding our time. You know that scripture in the Bible says, we're enduring to the end. When I'm just going down to the church and I'm just going to endure to the end. Am I right? And the devil gives us this mindset. Amen. And we have a service or two where we're not seeing much happen. And before you know it, the devil's got us down there and said, well, your name's Ichabod. God's not going to do anything. And it don't take long till we just sit down and accept it. I've had people tell me that I went down to such and such church and in 2 months I sat there and I was just like the rest of them. You know what I told them? Somebody asked me what they should do. I said, the next time the preacher in your church says whoop or glory or hollers, amen, get up and run around the building whether you feel like it or not. Now, wait a minute. I know we got some religious folks that said, I wouldn't do that unless God took... Really? Really? You run around the field. You run around the house. You chase the dog. We chase the baseball. We scream at the television. Come on. Amen. And that's all right. I remember the grandkids growing up. You know, I screamed at them too and told them they was blind. You couldn't see the refs. I know. But you know what? I told him, I said, what you need to do is you need to say, I'm not going to be Ichabod. I'm not going to sit there and let the glory depart. 29 years the glory wasn't there. But then, somewhere down the road, there came somebody that read, Ichabod had a brother. And his name was Ahitub, the son of goodness, a worshiper. And you know what? Maybe somebody said, well, wait a minute. I don't have to be a follower of Ichabod if I can follow Ichabod's brother. Can I just tell you in the house tonight that my friend, God isn't done with His church. The move of God's not finished in the church. The power of God's not finished in the church. Pentecost is not dead. The Spirit of God's not dead. God is alive and well. All God's looking for is an Ahitub to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise and say, I've come in the house. Well, glory, I've come in the house and I'm going to worship Him. Somebody lift your hands and praise Him. But we hang around the Ichabod crowd, pretty soon we're no longer excited. You remember what it was when you were so excited to get to church? Oh, honey, it's 6 o'clock. We ought to already be at church. Now you scrape in at 7. See, I said 7 because we start at 6:30 here. So I didn't want nobody to think I'm throwing that at them. Come in late and sneak out early. Because we got to the place where we got the label. And we just go sit there and we say, well, we haven't discovered that just because somebody's that way, I don't have to be that way. Can I tell you what God spoke into my spirit when He gave me this message? He said, son, if I could find 5 or 10 people that would say, I'm Ahitub. I'm Ichabod's brother. I'm not Ichabod. He said, I could show them the glory and manifest it to themselves in a way like they've never seen it before. I'm here to tell you, friend, it don't take another 120 in the upper room. It don't take 100 people in the house. All it takes is a few people that will say that I'm going to have the glory of God. I'm going to have the Spirit of God. I refuse to be Ichabod. I refuse to pass down to the next generation that they can't have a move of God. I refuse to tell my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, that God's not doing anything. I refuse to hang with that crowd. I've turned my hearing aid off. Don't even talk to me that way. The God I serve is still alive and well. I got this 16 and a half, almost 17-year-old grandson. A month after he's here, late June, he's 17. When he called me at the age of 10 or 11, said, Papa, I'm going to preach my first sermon. I said, I can't come tonight. I got my own church. No, he said, can you come to my church? I said, I can't come. He said, Papa, I'm called to preach. I'm going to preach my first sermon. I said, if I have to have the janitor preach at my church, I'll be there. I went. Stirred my spirit up. I mean, stirred me, got me so excited. And I said, God, I refuse to let my grandchildren grow up believing that they can't have a move of God. Come on. I look back here and I wish there's 30 young people. I look back here at Brooke and Elijah and Haley and I don't know Haley's friend and Christina and these young people 20 years and under, 25, whatever they are, young people that's there. And Brother Turner, if we don't watch, the church age is telling them, well, you know, God's just not doing much. And they're putting that in their spirit. I'm here to tell you young people something. That the same God that moved in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s is the same God that's moving today. I refuse, my friend, I'm not Ichabod. I won't go around and say the glory's departed. I'm going to fight with every breath in my body to see a move of God for a generation that's being raised up. God spoke to me. Here's what God said. God said, I need some people to preserve Pentecost. Hear me. You people ever can? You know what I'm talking about. To make something that preserves, it keeps. Come on. So that when they open the bottle, it's just as good them green beans as when you canned them 8 months ago or a year ago. You open that honey and it's just as good as they put it on the lid 2 years ago. And them green beans just smell like they got picked out of the garden yesterday. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because they've been preserved to keep. Can I tell you something, friend? Listen to me. Some of us are getting up in years. I'm 58. Some of you, that age, okay? And you might be a little bit older. And I'm saying that respectfully. Let me tell you, church, we got a decision to make. Are we going to let our kids grow up and listen to the religious world that just tells us God don't move? I refuse. I'll lay hands on my grandchildren. I'll lay hands on my... I lay in bed and cry and weep. I say, God, don't let them grow up without seeing the power of God. Don't let our teenagers in our church grow up without the power of God. Don't let them go to church and let them die because there's not a move of God. I say, God, help us preserve Pentecost. There's got to be a move of God. Back last September, October, I can't remember. Now it had to be October, November because it's November. Because the granddaughter wasn't, great granddaughter wasn't born until September. She's about 6 weeks old. They came to Ohio. And we was up there and they was having a wedding, baby shower or something. And they all gone. And Sister Hall and them had gone. And the daughter had gone. And everybody was gone and they left it. Here I was, still not supposed to do too much. And left that great-granddaughter with me. I couldn't wait for her to start crying. Because they said, leave her lay right there until she wakes up or cries. And I prayed, Brother Turner, I'm honest with you. I prayed God let her start crying. Because I had something going on right here and right here. About 2 minutes after they're gone, she started crying. I said, thank you, Jesus. I went over and got her, put her in the chair. And for 2 hours, I prayed for that girl. My grandson, that's her daddy, and her mama. My grandson, he knows he's not saved. That's her daddy. And her mommy comes from a family that's non-religious. And so, they're not saved. And I said, God, you know these parents are raising up this baby. And it's never going to see a move of God unless something happens. And I said, God, I'm going to lay right here. As long as I'm here, 2 hours or so, I was with that baby. And I held it there and prayed. I said, God, I'm going to ask you to do something. I said, God, I'm asking you to breathe the Holy Ghost in my great-granddaughter. That when she's raised up, if I'm dead and gone, or if I'm already out of the picture, that God, you raise her up. And let there be something inside of her that the Spirit of God will go on. Because listen, my friend, we got a lot of people that's raising their kids and the grandkids are not in the house of God. And let me tell you, friend, what's the church going to be like in 5 or 10 years? The church will be Ichabod if the world's got anything to do with it. But let me tell you, friend, I believe it's time that we make up our mind and we say in the church, I refuse to be Ichabod. I refuse to let the Spirit die. I'm going to keep it alive for my generation. I don't know if I told this or not, but if I did, forgive me. And I'll be brief. And I'm going to stop after this. My niece, my brother's girl, sat recently, told me with a tear in her eye, 23 or 24 years of age. She said, Uncle Tim, she said, I have never seen the move of God that I've heard people talk about in my generation. I left there. I wanted to just go somewhere and cry. I said, God, is it my fault? Is it my fault, Lord, that they haven't seen it? And I made up my mind that day, Brother Ken Turner. I said, I'm going to preserve Pentecost if I have to die saying it. Because it's got to be. Pentecost is not a name. It's the experience. We're Church of God. You know what we were founded upon? Pentecost. Pentecost is not just the name. It's the experience. But listen to me. If we don't watch, we've let the religious world tell us we don't need that. We don't need that. Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa, Aunt or Uncle, don't be Ichabod. Be at Kabod's, brother. Worship if you have to hold your hands up with the other. When I first started coming back here to church after my surgery, you all didn't see me. I sat in the back, embarrassed. I had to literally sit there and hold my hand up with my other hand because I didn't have the strength. And I would hold it up and I'd say, oh God, it hurts, it hurts. I'd go home and I was hurting so bad because they said, don't lift that left arm up the heart hand. I said, God, I'll die if I can't worship you. I'll die if I can't worship you. Church, we got to be Ichabod's brother. Would you come to the music? I'm going to stop. Would you stand in the house? Lord, I pray that I have preached to help tonight. I preached what you gave me, God. It's been burning in my spirit for months. You breathed it in me, God. Lord, the house may not be full, but that's not the point. Tonight, God, in this house, let us make up our mind. We will not allow it to die. No matter what. No matter what. Haley, Brooke, Christina, Timothy, Elijah, the young lady Wood with her, I don't know how well you know, and I don't know and don't want to embarrass her. Would you young people come up here, please? Would you please just come up here? Brother Ted, we've been privileged to sit in places where the glory fell so powerful. Brother Jimmy, we've been privileged to be in meetings where the power of God fell so powerful and saw such great things. Brother Turner, Sister Turner, Sister Heron, we've seen it. We've seen it. Some of the rest of you have. But you know what? They need it. To make a change. To make a change. I want you, everyone, to come up here tonight. Every one of you. To walk up here. Come on. Every saint of God, come up here and stand behind these young people. Stand behind them. Young man, you can stand with them if you want to. I didn't mean to leave out none of you young people. I didn't mean it that way. If any others wants to come with them, that's fine. I want you to come around here. And I want you to help lay hands. Lay hands on every one of these young people. Say, God, make these young people Ichabod's brother. Make them Ichabod's brother. Let them see your glory. Let Pentecost be preserved. Come on around, some of you, and pray for them. Come on. Let them be Ichabod's brother. Let them see the glory. Let them see the glory.